All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about Blinded by the Light, a movie about how amazing Bruce Springsteen is. Well, it's not really about just that. It's about a bunch of other stuff too. But it is, for all intents and purposes, the Bruce Springsteen movie. And I had a lot of fun with this one and a lot of fun with the conversation with Jason Harris, who hasn't been on the show since last year, but I have been producing his Awesome Movie Year podcast. So we've done quite a bit of podcasting together over the last year, just not here on this show. But we're getting him back for another episode soon, so it's always fun having him on. So, you know, I want to just say, we're just getting to the end of August right now. We're about to enter September. August has been an awesome month for the podcast. Lots of growth, lots of new subscribers, lots of downloads, and lots of new social media connections and all that. And I just want to thank you all who are out there listening to the show. We really are happy that you're out there and enjoying the show. And yeah, just want to say thank you. If you have not, you can go to our Apple Podcast page and rate and review us. 5 stars would be amazing, but we want to hear what you think of the show. We want to keep making it better for you. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. So with that all said, let's jump into this conversation about Blinded by the Light, which should still be in theaters. So if you haven't seen it yet, go see it because not enough people are seeing it. But we'll get into that conversation as well towards the end of this whole overall conversation. I'm saying the word conversation a lot, but you know what? That's fine. Let's get into the conversation. All right, so we have got with us Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. How's it going, Jason?
Yeah, I'm here on my own. I don't need to use the crutch of that long-haired freak, Josh Bell, my co-host. I love him very much, but this is me time, Dave. Me and you time.
Me, you, and Bruce, man.
The boss, and it probably would be me, you, and Bruce. Josh, not a fan, of course, but...
I can't believe that. That's hard to believe.
He doesn't dislike Springsteen, so, you know, this... Of course, not what this podcast is about, but, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, normally I'm heard with him on Awesome Movie Year, but today, baby, we're getting deep into Blinded by the Light by the Boss.
Hell yeah.
Well, which, I know, of course, that would be the song, yes. Not the movie. Yeah. We're not getting into the song. We'll mention
the song. We'll probably mention the song at some point.
Yes.
But, yeah, we'll mention a bunch of songs. This one was one you signed up for a long time ago. You wanted to be my co-host for this episode. Obviously, you're a big Bruce Springsteen fan. Did you ever expect for this to be the Bruce Springsteen movie that was going to happen?
Did I expect for it? No, but there's so many kind of books about, Bruce Springsteen and how he's affected people's lives and documentaries that, that it doesn't surprise me that, you know, this one happens to be about a Pakistani immigrant in working class England in the 80s. And that's who Bruce spoke to, you know? Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, that's the point of his music, is that it speaks to so many people, no matter what background you have, just yearning for more, for something more.
Yeah. Those universal like themes of his music are exactly what the movie is about. And you know, I find it, we'll get into it as we get into some of the puzzle pieces and everything, but I mean, I think the movie is about so much more than just, you know, Bruce Springsteen's music. I mean, it absolutely can be read just about the music, and then it could be just about him as a writer and connecting with other writers, and, and it could be about, you know, one thing I noticed, you know, before we even get into puzzle pieces, I'm looking at my pieces and I'm realizing I didn't even, like, touch on like the themes of like the racism in the country and how that parallels today and everything like that.
That is one of the interesting things about, man, how spot on is this movie from that was, you know, set in 1987 to what's going on today in America, in Britain, you know. So that's a sad state of affairs.
Sure is.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
I was looking, you know, I didn't put it as one of my puzzle pieces, but something like This Is England, which goes over the schism of the skinhead music movement from like, hey, we're cool reggae guys to like, hey, we're horrible Nazis. Like, you know, that would have been a movie that would have fit in that puzzle piece, I think.
Sure, absolutely. Well, why don't we jump into some puzzle pieces? What do you got for your first one?
So, look, there's a number of ways I broke this down. One One thing I wanted to leave out were these jukebox musicals that are like super trendy right now, Bohemian Rhapsody yesterday, stuff like that, where it's just like, here's the story of an artist and we're backgrounding it or telling most of the story through their music with them singing.
I may mention a couple, but only for specific reasons.
Okay, so that's fair. I left those out. Yeah. One, because this isn't a story about Bruce Springsteen. And two, because I know that the filmmaker, who I'm going to let you pronounce.
Gunrinder Chadha.
Yeah, you did. I don't know if you did all right. Yeah, we'll but anyway, she specifically said, like, look, we're not trying to make that. We're trying to make a story, and we're going to have the music elevate the story. Sure. You know? So with that, I had a movie, a British movie, about a young fella who's trying to do better, who also... it involves music, and that's Billy Elliot, one of my favorite films of all time. I love this movie. I'll cry at it like every single time, dude. Yeah. Like, oh, your dead mom wrote you a note. Let's read it out loud so Jason can cry in front of whoever's watching. But, you know, that's the story of, again, a working class family, a dad trying to raise his kids in England, where the economy has just crushed him, and Billy Elliot has the talent of ballet, and his much like the main character here, Billy Elliot's family doesn't understand, like, hey, what is this? This is just a hobby of yours. Right. You shouldn't be doing this. You got to get on with work and everything. So, and then of course, you know, happy, happy, happy. Jason cries a lot. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
That is a pretty good summation of Billy Elliot.
Did you know, I'll admit I cry all the time at Billy Elliot. I saw Blinded by the Light alone, and I'm glad I did, because I knew I was going to cry, because I cried at the preview, because I'm such a huge Springsteen fan. And like, if you use that music effectively, like it hits me the right way. I cried so much during this movie, dude. Nice. So
yeah, I was quite choked up through especially the end, of course. But yeah, absolutely, I can see why anybody would be crying through this movie. But yeah, absolutely, Billy Elliot, and that's a comparison I have seen, you know, listed before, and it absolutely makes total sense. And yeah, I mean, just another great movie. I'm going to go with my first one, and it may fall into that category you were mentioning about, like, you know, just music movies and whatnot. But I want to talk about it for a specific reason.
Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yes, Eddie and the Cruisers is totally a movie that I've seen many, many times. No, actually, it is A Star is Born. And I'm actually specifically talking about the new A Star is Born, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. And the reason why, though, is not for being a movie centered around music, but for being a movie that so, like unironically and unabashedly, you know, still speaks to the power of music and, you know, isn't embarrassed by that. Because it seems like we're in such a, you know, a world now where everybody is, you know, so embarrassed to be, you know, like, you know, open about things and about the things that they love and all that kind of stuff. And A Star is Born looks at music like this powerful thing. I mean, there's even that line that you know, it made me laugh a little bit, but about, you know, music has, you know, seven notes and life is what happens between those seven notes or something like that, you know? And it's like, it's so, like, you know, cheesy, but kind of, you know, beautiful in the same way, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that counts as a jukebox musical. That's, a story that tells... its story with the usage of music to elevate, as opposing to necessarily like fill the gaps in. And
sure.
Right. So I can see that. And when you're talking about like the unabashed, like, love and power of music, like there's no one. And I think that's one of the things that his fans appreciate, who, like, really, you know, he always, Bruce Springsteen says at the end of each concert or close to it, I'm just a prisoner of rock and roll, right? And, you know, you're here to see the ministry, the magic, the majesty, the mystery of rock and roll. Like, he believes that at least in that moment, rock and roll can save lives.
Yeah.
So I can understand, you know, tackling something where music is essential like that.
Yeah. And I think that's great. You know, I mean, we're everything has to be so freaking ironic nowadays, you know, and it's like, it's kind of awesome to see something. It's refreshing like that, you know? But what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
My next one, it kind of another great movie, and this one I chose because it is, one, a coming of age story, and two, it takes place around rock and roll, and three, it takes place in the 70s, which is when, you know, Springsteen hit it big, mm-hmm. which would be Almost Famous, the classic Cameron Crowe movie, which is really about Cameron Crowe, you know, sure. as a young reporter on the road and dealing with the rock and roll lifestyles, and which Springsteen has famously avoided. And yeah. he said he has had to because members of his band have not, you know. So, but the idea of what rock and roll means as someone growing up and what rock and roll means as defining you from adolescence to adulthood, you mm-hmm. know, and that's kind of why I chose this one. And that kind of fits Javed's character here, you know, as he's going from like a community college to he's trying to get to like a major university in Manchester and like escape and be something more. So I sure. thought that was a good fit.
Absolutely. Also deals with a young writer, you know, learning to get into their craft and you know, believe in their work. But yeah, another great, you know, movie. Kind of, you know, in that world of music, you know, I think a lot of our pieces are going to exist somewhere within the world of music.
There's probably a few, like, we'll get to that don't have to be music heavy, but
oh, sure. You know. I think most of mine are, but right on. Well, I will go with my next puzzle piece then, which is another music movie, but probably
Eddie and the Cruisers 2.
Like, again, one of my favorite movies. It is actually the Eminem movie 8 Mile, because I thought of you know, when Javed is writing his poems and just pouring all of his emotions and his heartbreak and the difficulty of his family life and all that stuff into his lyrics and poems that he's writing, and I thought of B Rabbit writing his rhymes on the bus and all that stuff, and just, you know, just every ounce of it just matters so much to him, you know?
You know, what's funny is it was probably 2002, right? The Grammys of that year. That was when Springsteen was up for every award with The Rising.
Sure.
With the post 9/11 album that should have won every award. And, mm-hmm. And Eminem was out with, you tell me which album, I don't remember at the time.
That
but
probably would have been Marshall Mathers LP.
I thought it was the one after, but whatever
All
it was.
All Eminem show, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then they both lost to Norah Jones, yeah. right? In retrospect, are we still saying that Come Away With Me was the best song, best album, best everything of that year? And
it's a pretty damn good song, though.
Yeah, okay. does it have the same resonance now as like The Rising, which was the Obama administration song for 8 years, sure. right? But anyway, so there's a story that, you know, they announced like whatever, the album of the year, the big one, right? And Norah Jones wins, and Springsteen and Eminem are backstage, and they just look at each other like, what the fuck are you going to do, right?
Yep.
You know, so I think, you know, there's also this idea of what people in a genre are supposed to be and what they're supposed to do, mm-hmm. you know? And both Eminem and Springsteen transcended those genres and broke many rules of what was going on at the time that they exploded. So,
oh yeah. Also, I guess I hadn't really thought of this, but I guess also misunderstood in a lot of ways as well. You know, born in the USA and stuff like that, and what Eminem was trying to do. You know, but yeah, absolutely, like totally, two of the hugest artists ever of their respective genres. So, what do you got for your next one?
Well, I am gonna go with fun comedy for my next one, which is kind of what you were talking about. The reason I chose this one is because the main character believes in rock and roll mm-hmm. so much that I thought like it would be unfortunate if we didn't include it. So I picked School of Rock,
nice.
Because everything Jack Black does in that film is related to his love of rock and roll, sure. and all of his failures and successes are based around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that really kind of ties in with what I was saying with The Star Is Born as well. Yeah, it's like it just that what rock and roll can do for somebody's life, you know? It's awesome.
Yeah. Rock and roll, baby.
Rock and roll. Yeah, I love it. And I love School of Rock. So Well, for my next puzzle piece, I was just, as a genre, just in general, I was going to talk about Broadway musicals and just the whole, when they break into song and stuff like that. I mean, I could have like looked at something like, you know, Elton John's Rocketman, but it's kind of too new. But just in general, like that musical thing of everybody breaking into song and running and singing, kind of dream sequency, but it is happening within the world of the film, kind of. They're kind of my least favorite moments of this movie, but I did feel that they certainly amped up the energy, and I could see why they would want to include them, especially for like a song like Born to Run. And stuff
the
like
Born
that.
To Run montage was great. I thought maybe, you know, there's the Thunder Road montage, which he's singing to, you know, the girl he has a crush on.
Sure.
And I don't think he captured the the necessary angst in that one of what Thunder Road is. But right. Hey, man, you know, that's what's up. So what's the movie?
No, I guess if I had to like narrow down to a movie, I would have talked about Rocketman, even though it's too new. But I was just thinking of it as more as like a pure bucket of
genre style.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, if you want to talk about that, then what we should talk about is Springsteen on Broadway.
Sure.
Which which I flew into New York for one day to see.
That's amazing. I remember when you did that, and I would love to have the energy to do that.
I don't know if I had the energy per se. I won the lottery. You know, it was impossible to get tickets.
Yeah.
And then I won the lottery, and my brother was able to go on one specific day. And the deal was, if we won the lottery and then could get tickets for that specific day, we would both do it. So I flew in on a Friday, saw the show Saturday, flew back on a Sunday. And cried a lot at that show.
I bet. That must have been amazing.
Well, you know what was great about that was, so we get there and, you know, I don't have an ACL in my right leg, so it's tough for me to sit like bent legged in a tight space. And this is an old Broadway theater where you're seeing Springsteen, and it's like, there's no way I could sit like where I was supposed to sit for 2 hours. And I told the staff, so they put me right next to the sound man. And literally, you know, there's always this thing that Springsteen fans say, that they say whether it's 200 or 20,000 people, you feel like he's talking directly to you, right?
Right.
So in this one, I was next to the sound man up top, and like, it was eerie. Like, I had to remind myself, like, oh, there are other people here. Like, because I had such a perfect view as next to the sound man. I thought like it was like me and Springsteen, and that's it, you know, for 2.5 hours. And now you can see that show, Springsteen on Broadway on Netflix. So I think that might be a good thing to track down for viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, because of my inability to just sit down on my couch and watch things, I still haven't freaking watched that.
And also, I said you have podcast viewers, but you have listeners. But you should watch it. You could watch an hour at a time, you know.
And they should view my podcast. Well, yeah, I will watch that, though. What do you got next?
Okay, this is one of my favorite movies again, and I chose it because of the importance of working class Britain and what music meant and how music came out of that scene and everything. So I chose 24 Hour Party People. I love that movie. Steve Coogan talking about the Manchester scene from about 76 to 92. Joy Division and Happy Mondays and New Order and all this stuff. And it's just such a dope movie. Like, I highly recommend that to anyone who hasn't seen it. And it really captures kind of like what England was, and also how important the music was to those working class communities, people who needed an escape and people who found an escape.
Sure. Yeah, no, great, great movie. And also, yeah, I loved all the references to all the other music that was, like, you know, popular at the time. And really, and that's an interesting thing about this movie is, you know, make no mistake, it's a Bruce Springsteen movie, but it's also not, like I said, it's about these other themes. And in the process, I mean, it's as much a movie about all the music of the time. It's just that this one character, who is the main character, is mostly focused on Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, they kind of make fun of the friend because he's like, synths are the future.
Yeah.
And it's like, but synths are dope, dude. Like, sure. You know, and we still like synths. And in the 80s, Springsteen played with synths. So I don't know why we would be making fun of that. But it was
more the hair.
Yeah, that's fair. definitely some, like, Human League stuff in there. And then, you know, his friend's like, is that Billy Joel? And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, kind of funny because those guys are such good friends now, Springsteen and Billy Joel. But yeah, they do talk about music so much. And then also, you know, Javed comes to the realization when, you know, that his friend's music wasn't good. And then he's like, well, your music is good because it speaks to you the way my music speaks to me and everything.
Right, so, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many artists that, like, I could think of that, like, speak to me specifically. But, I mean, Springsteen absolutely is one of them. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of perfect.
Who's the weirdest one?
The weirdest one that speaks to me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know, probably some weird industrial music or something like that, like a Front 242 or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even know what to do with that.
Yeah, but... By the way, just before moving on, I friend of the show, Chris Cranock, was talking about how, like, you know, what must it be like for Billy Joel to be sitting in the theater, you know, when this preview plays, and like, oh, everyone's laughing at me, like,
yeah, I'll go rest on my, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, exactly. And the fact that I've sold out Madison Square Garden, like, for the last 4 years, times. Every month, right? So. You know, but they do. They also do that to Springsteen here, right? Like, so this is after Born in the USA exploded and Tunnel of Love was going to be coming out, and that kind of changed the direction. And then he went solo after that, and a lot of, like, the kids, like the college kids, were like, "No one's listening to Springsteen
right,
anymore. That's
cool
your dad's
anymore.
Music, right?"
Yeah.
And when I started seeing Springsteen on the reunion tour, the E Union tour, which was 2000, the E Street reunion tour, right? I was 20, and I was clearly the youngest person or one of the youngest people in the crowd, right?
Yeah.
And what's funny is I thought that would be continuing, right? Like, as I got older, well, the whole audience would get older and I'd still be one of the youngest. But now if you go see him in the last few years, like, it's so many young people. It's amazing. He's got
awesome.
A huge, like, teenage and, you know, 20-something fan base. And, you know, a lot of that is because of bands that, like, when people say, oh, I don't like Springsteen. Oh, do you like Arcade Fire? Yeah. Well, then you like Springsteen.
Exactly.
Do you like right? Vampire Weekend? Yeah. Then you like Springsteen, you know, and it's like everyone from those two to Taylor Swift, you know, like Springsteen, whether it's the style of music or the songwriting, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, let's, he's the boss, man. Come
he's
on.
He's the boss. He's absolutely the boss. I'm going to go with my next puzzle piece. This one definitely fits into that that jukebox thing, and that is "Mamma Mia." Just a big happy crowd pleaser of a movie centered around this music, you know.
"Mamma Mia," I would say, is the type of music that Springsteen built his whole career against in the 70s, right?
You know,
"Born to Run" and "Darkness on the Edge of Town" are the opposite of what ABBA was doing. But to come full circle. Again, here's another little Springsteen fact, right? On the last tours of Australia, he did cover "Stayin' Alive" as, like,
oh,
an
nice.
Homage to Barry Gibb, who was down there. And then Barry Gibb, in his LA shows, like, to repay the favor, was like, "Well, yeah, I got you too, boss." And he covered "I'm on Fire," so it was kind of cool and everything. But that has nothing to do with "Mamma Mia," which I have no desire to see.
You know, actually, to be honest, I don't know if I've ever actually seen it in full, but I've certainly seen it in pieces many times because people always seem to be watching it around me. But.
You're just talking about how music makes you happy and, you know, can express certain things that maybe the spoken word can't. I get it.
Well, what do you got for your next puzzle
piece? Look, you want to talk about a movie where music is important, when people believe in the music that they're performing. I'm going to go a little further back, maybe to the early 90s, to the Irish soul rock movie, The Commitments, which is a great movie. Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it, no.
Well, let's watch it.
We
it's
should
good.
Watch it. Yeah.
We'll be back after we watch The Commitments. It's a great film, and you know, it's really about this Irish soul band who believes that they can make it big and that they should, and that their soul music is essential to their lives. So better than "Mamma Mia."
Yeah, I could imagine. It sounds great, though.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. No, I have not seen it, but I will go with my last puzzle piece, actually. And this one's kind of just a simple comparison, but a lot of the times when I'm covering just a straight up feel good movie, which I do consider this to be a feel good movie.
A lot of people
movie,
are saying that, yeah.
Yeah, and I can understand where people wouldn't like a movie like this because of it being such a feel good movie, but I mean, hey, I loved it. But the one I always look to is Little Miss Sunshine as a perfect example of like that just kind of just, you know, just quirky, like just lovable little movie, you know? And I think a lot of the cues that Gurinder Chadha, again, I don't know the pronouncing, but that she's taking in structuring a movie like this to be just such a fun, sweet little film is, I think, comes from that same kind of a place.
Yeah, that's a great film. You know, kind of a different film about family dynamics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you could also say, like, you know, there's a character or two in there who wants to make it bigger than they are, right?
So,
yeah, fun movie. I like. I mean, look, who's going to complain about that?
Exactly.
So, I wanted to mention a few that I had considered but didn't put on my list.
Sure.
Some coming of age ones. I thought you could have gone with like Lady Bird, Spectacular Now, even the Bombach movie Kicking and Screaming because of, you know, people trying to find their place in the world at such a young age. Then I was thinking, you know, could Trainspotting be on there because of the idea of finding your place in this British society when you don't fit in,
yeah,
you know? So, but I'll tell you, my last main one, mm-hmm. and then I do have a couple of other recommendations that should be watched, but my last main one, going back to Ireland, again, one of my favorite, I think it was my favorite movie of 2016, John Carney's Sing Street. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And that is a feel good movie. And that is a movie about, you know, kids forming a band and seeing how far it could take them and shooting music videos and the importance of the 80s and what music videos meant at that point in time, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've mentioned a lot of good movies today, and that is just one of my favorite movies.
There. Yeah, yeah, such like a lovable movie. I still like Once better, but you know,
well, that would be another one people would consider. And
sure.
You know, actually, I was in Ireland following Springsteen in 2013.
Nice.
And I went to three shows of his in a row, and the next show that he performed, Glenn Hasnard performed with him. So
nice.
Yeah,
that's so, pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That would have been a great show. Well, why don't I go down the finished puzzle list here, and then we'll get into some of those bonus ones you had, and then any closing thoughts we have about the movie. The finished puzzle includes Billy Elliot, A Star is Born, Almost Famous, 8 Mile, School of Rock, Broadway musicals, Springsteen on Broadway, 24-Hour Party People, Mamma Mia, The Commitments, and Little Miss Sunshine and Sing Street. And we also kind of touched on Lady Bird, The Spectacular Now, and Kicking and Screaming in there. So,
Other than Mamma Mia, I like the list.
Yes, right? I will strike Mamma Mia from the record just to make this a really good list of movies.
Well, let me replace it with two freaking awesome music documentaries, if you like them.
Sweet.
And I thought this would be a perfect way to close because Blinded by the Light, like we said, about a kid who's trying to find his place in the world, trying to do something more, trying to do something that people from his town and his family don't understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to get out while we're young. Tramps like us, baby, we were born to run, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Wings on Wheels, the Bruce Springsteen documentary about Born to Run and the making of it. And it's literally like,
yeah.
He's like, in 1975, I was doing things that nobody really understood, including myself, but I knew I had to do them, right? That was pretty much the theme. And those are so honest. That's what, you know, Western Stars, the new one's going to be getting a theatrical release because the ones he's put out have been so good.
Yeah,
right?
His documentaries are just crazy good.
So much care and cultivation and, you know, the archival footage mixed with the storytelling. So I thought that one, and then you could even argue that The Promise, The Making of Darkness on the Edge of Town,
mm-hmm.
which was the next one, might even be better. And that's saying something because, like, you know, besides Wings for Wheels being awesome, The Promise is all about how he had to go in a completely different direction after he achieved this stardom and everything,
sure.
right? So those are the two. The Ties That Bind was also out for The River, I don't think that one's as good as these first two, but I would definitely highly recommend those for any Springsteen fan, any music fan, and any artist who feels like they need to be inspired of like, oh damn, you know, like,
right, yeah,
you
yeah.
gotta, you, if you're not gonna believe in yourself, who is, right?
Yeah. You know what, one quick question, did you read the book from the kid that it was based on?
I didn't. No, I've read more than one Springsteen book, yeah, including Born to Run. His autobiography is amazing. Have you read it?
I have the audiobook. I've heard some of it, but I haven't gotten to finish
it. I got to get that audiobook because I hear that's like one of the great audio narrations of all time.
Yeah.
The Born to Run, when I read it, it made me feel weird. Like, I grew up in North Jersey, so like I'm like kind of periphery around that and everything. But it made me feel weirdly nostalgic for a time and a place I didn't experience.
And that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, and it was, so it's like, it's playing like, it's like magical realism or whatever.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've read a number of books based on the Boston rock and roll and everything. But yeah, his autobiography is pretty monumental achievement, I'd say.
I kind of want to go back and read this kid's book because it seems like it would be a great story, like that there's probably so much more to it, but yeah, absolutely. It's overall, you know, great movie. I liked it a lot. Disappointing that it's not doing so well, but hopefully it finds life on video.
And I think you're underestimating that because it was a $15 million budget, right?
Yeah.
It tracked at $4 million the first week, made $4.5 million. In the U.S. and Canada, it's about $9.2 million now.
Damn, you came with facts today.
Yeah, hey. Right? So even... Look, it's going to make its money back in the theater, right?
Yes, yeah, so that's good.
And as we've talked about time and again, like, the idea of a theatrical release is changing, right? And some of the criticism is, why do they do this as a wide release? Why didn't they do this as a platform release?
Sure.
Like, hit the big cities first. Do more of those Fathom events where it's like a party for Springsteen fans and then open it up to a bigger audience. And I think that's a fair criticism. But I do think it's... I just don't think movies like this, you know, based on a few exceptions, are going to be making tons of money anymore in the theater. So I do think, you know, based on whatever your expectation is, my expectation is, hey, you made your money back in the theater. Everything after is gold.
I agree with that 100%. What I hate is the headlines that it bombed. And that's what bugs me, you know, because you're right. It didn't do that bad.
It's not. It's not the Avengers, you know.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly going to
do Avengers numbers. So. And again, like I said, it's a changing time. This is, you know, the type of thing that you would be happy to watch on your couch. Maybe not you, but other people. So,
well, I still need to fit in the Springsteen on Broadway. So,
yeah, and I can watch this alone on my couch and cry.
Yes,
so,
that's true. Which I'm sure you'll do many times.
So I do think it's doing better than some of that type of narrative is portraying it as doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is great. As we always do, do you have a movie you've seen recently you'd like to recommend?
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. Can I recommend a TV show instead?
Fuck it.
Yeah, I've been watching Letterkenny recently on Hulu. That's like amazing. I love that show. It's a weird Canadian show. A lot of people know about it now that, you know, about this small town in Canada where there's 5,000 people. And the main characters are the farmers, and there's also the meth head goth kids and the jocks, and those could easily be characters who want to get out of where they are and strive for something more. So I'll just recommend Letterkenny right now.
Is anyone in that? Like anyone big or
no one that we would know?
No. Okay. Yeah. Sounds interesting. Right on. Where can people find?
Wait,
your
are stuff? You going to recommend a movie, or you don't?
No,
recommend
I don't recommend things. My guests recommend things.
Well, I don't listen to your podcast.
Yeah,
even
I know.
You
clearly. Well, that's okay. I don't listen to yours. Yeah, I do actually.
I'll listen to this episode. So look, we got an awesome movie here, which you produce and do a heck of a job on, and that's all over the webs. At awesomemovieyear.com, awesomemovieyear on Facebook, awesomemovieyear on Instagram, and then awesomemoviepod on Twitter. I'm at Jason Harris Comedy or J Harris Comedy all over the intranets, and goforjason.com is my website.
Beautiful. Jason, it's great to finally get you back on the show, man. It's been a while, you know?
Hey, you know, Blood Brothers, right?
That's right.
That's a Springsteen song, everybody.
Okay, everybody. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me is
Matthew Haas.
We are the co-hosts of the All Too Real 2 podcast. On All Too Real 2, we tackle pop culture topics such as watching and reviewing direct-to-DVD sequels.
We review any and every all direct-to-video movies of all time.
That we review so you don't have to.
Yeah.
We also cover pop culture topics, you know, like the history of Halloween, misconceptions, and things of that nature.
Very educational and entertaining.
And we've just started doing interviews with people from Hollywood and people from pop culture, such as Larry Hankin, which we just interviewed recently, who you know from Seinfeld and Friends and Billy Madison, among other things. So where can they find our podcast, Matt?
They can find it at iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other place that you can find podcasts on.
Just tune in and enjoy.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Blinded by the Light with our guest Jason Harris, who will be back for another episode real soon. And I hope you've been checking out Awesome Movie Year as well, Jason's podcast with Josh Bell that I produce. And I want to thank you all for listening. And also, coming up Sunday, September 15th at the Sin City Horror Fest, we are doing our first ever live episode of Piecing It Together. We're going to be talking about a local feature called The Head. Josh Bell is going to be guesting with me. And we also have Drew Marvick, the filmmaker and creator of the Sin City Horror Fest, as well as the film's director, is going to be there. So it's going to be a really fun show, and I'm really looking forward to it. You can go find out more information at Sin City Horror Fest's websites and Facebook and all that stuff. We'll have links in the show notes, and we're going to have our own event invite coming up next week. I'm going to put that together with lots more info about how to get there and what's going to be happening. So yeah, first live show of hopefully many, many live shows. And we also have a whole bunch more Piecing It Together coming your way. We got Peanut Butter Falcon coming next week, and just a whole bunch of others. So lots coming your way. Thank you so much for listening. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And of course, join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the discussion about all these movies. So let's leave you guys with a piece of music. I don't really have a lot of like real American rock music or anything like that I can play you guys. Anything that fits in with the Bruce Springsteen theme, but I do want to pick something with guitars in it at least. There's a track on my album An Unseen Sky called Last Kiss, which is a very guitar-based track. So why don't we go with that one? This is Last Kiss. Enjoy it, and we will be back with more Piecing It Together coming up next week.
and all points west.